Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to Mother and Daughters at the Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. It is absolutely a wonderful Saturday morning, and I just want to say thank you for joining us this morning. We couldn't do it without you. You know, you can get on Saturday mornings, and, you know, the element of surprise is always there because you never know who's on the radio. You never know who's listening via the internet. Until we go back and check, you know. But otherwise, when you get on, I just don't know. And I like it like that, because if I knew some of the people that was on there or the people that was on there, I might try to do something differently or try to impress somebody, and I would be about Bessie and not about my father's business. So I like the element of not really knowing, but being able to get the comments and testimonies from individuals that says, you know, the program really helped them. It clarified something for them. It gave them something to live for, something to work from. So, you know, that's all we do, one mother and daughter at a time. We can't save the whole world. Even Jesus didn't do that. He could do it, but, you know, we have to have the willing parties, and a person has to be willing to be able to make a decision and say, I'm going to change, or I'm going to do things differently. Until we have that, then you know what? You get pretty much more of the same. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm your host this morning at the round table here with mothers and daughters around the world. So what we're going to do this morning, I guess I'll go to the switchboard here, and let's see. Before we get too far in, we don't want to forget the main person, and that is our Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, and our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We want to give thanks and honor where it is due. So let's see this. Okay, let's get on here. Good morning, Frida.
Good morning, Dr. Bessie.
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing wonderful, wonderful. God is good.
Yes, good.
How are you doing this morning?
I am doing wonderful, I tell you.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing. Every day it's like a flower that's just blooming, and I see myself just opening up, and God is just downloading information, and absolutely would not change a thing at this moment. Nothing. So I'm pleased. I'm good.
I'm with you when you said like flowers blooming. With July the 1st, I went to Lowe's and got all these flowers and just surrounded myself in the front of my home. And so when I walked into my door and drive into my driveway, I see these flowers blossoming, and then I just speak that over myself. So we're on the same accord.
Yeah. So if you would please, if you would do us the honor and lead us in the prayer, we would appreciate that.
Yes, I'll be honored to. Oh, Father, we come before you thanking you for another day. We thank you for your son that died and rose for our sins, Jesus. We thank you, God, for the blood that's been shed on Calvary, Lord. We honor you, O Father God, today, O Father God. Let everything that have breath praise you, the name of the Lord. And we, O God, praise you today. We praise you, God, for life, O Father God, abundant life, O Father God, that you came to give us, O Lord. And so, Father, we bless you. We lift up, O Father God, as we're into the season, O God, where children are returning to school, O God. Some are returning after Labor Day, according to whatever region or area that you reside in. But we want to lift up the children this morning, O God. And we, before we do that, we pray for the parents, O God. We pray for the parents, O God, and even the grandparents, because there's a lot of grandparents that are raised their children, and now they're raising the grandchildren. And we lift up the mothers, the grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and in the name of Jesus, that they, O Father God, will be fortified, O Father, in the name of Jesus, with strength, O God, and joy, O God, joy unspeakable, joy, O Father God, during this time, O God, that it won't be stressful, but it will be a delight, O God, that they, O Father God, will come together as families, Lord, and just getting the supplies and everything that they need and anything that is short, oh, Father God, that you are Jehovah Jireh, you're the provider, oh, Father God, that let it be added unto them, oh, God. Let, oh, Father God, a resource and opportunities, even in a community, oh, Father God, whatever, oh, Father God, that the children, oh, Father God, will have everything that they need, oh, God. We thank you, God, that your protection, oh, God, for the children, oh, Father God, as they return to school, oh, Father God, there's so many violent situations in the schools, oh, Father God, that we cover them with the blood of Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. We say, oh, Father God, that no weapon formed against our children will prosper, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, that they, oh, God, will carry out the purpose and plan that you have for their life, oh, God. We cover them, oh, Father God, spiritually, oh, God, and even in their mind, oh, God, that they will have a desire and a will that want to be able to learn, oh, Father God, and in the name of Jesus, oh, Father God, we bless you today. We thank you, Father God, even for the children, oh, God, that may be lacking in food, oh, Father God, because we know that it's hard for children to even to concentrate with not even have adequate a lunch and a meal, oh, God. So we pray for those, even in the United States, oh, God, they say the children in the summer are lacking even food because they're not in the school, oh, God, getting the free lunch. So, Lord, we just bless your name. We just thank you, Father God. We thank you. We say, oh, God, in your word it says that it is the Lord, that God, that gives us the power to create wealth. And we just pray and we thank you, God, for any lack, oh, God. We speak abundance, oh, God. We speak overflow in every house, oh, Father God, every mother and daughter, grandmother, auntie, and even the teachers, oh, God, that they will come back refreshed and on fire, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, and have a heart and a passion for children, oh, Father God. We thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God, and we thank you for Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries, oh, God, as we play a part, oh, Father God, and connect with Master's Touch Ministries going in different countries, oh, Father God, and be able to plant a seed financially, oh, God, for children who don't even have education, oh, God. We thank you, Father God, for Cynthia Oliver and all the mothers and daughters, oh, God, and the leadership connected with Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries as we come together, oh, Father God, and join forces, oh, Father God, and want to have a desire, oh, God, and to put our hands to the plow to make a difference in our community and in the world. We thank you for Dr. Bessie Fletcher, the visionary, oh, Father God. We thank you for her and her obedience, oh, Father God, as she follows you, oh, Father God, and as she continues to seek you for guidance and direction in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Welcome.
God be the glory. All right, I'll talk back
yes.
with you. Appreciate that.
All right.
Frida just brought in something to my attention. It is time for the children to go back to school. We're asking every mother and daughter out there. You know, we're talking about stepmoms, you know, women that just really taking care of a young girl or even. You know, we're not anti-fathers and sons. Some of you have young boys. So whatever message that we're giving out, just know the God word is for all. That's why he called us all sons. So there's no separation in that. We're just focusing on mothers and daughters, the heart, so that the mother will be consciously aware that she needs to consult God as to every child that she bear will be connected to the source and know that they have a purpose on this earth. With that being said, I'm going to go to Cynthia this morning. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Flynn. How are you?
I'm fine. See, I threw you off this morning. Be ye ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be ye ready. I got you, girl. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I just wanted to say hello and
welcome
into the
you.
Commentary. And we'll be
well,
back with you for
you,
your comments.
Thank
you
so
welcome.
Much.
I appreciate you. I tell you, Frida, I you all are godsend, and I just wanted you all to know this morning that I appreciate you guys. And a lot of times, you know, the Holy Spirit takes over and does what he does. And sometimes, you know, we go into the time, so it's never to not bring you on in a timely fashion. But I just wanted to say hello, let the audience hear your voice, and you'll hear more from Cynthia. And hopefully Frida later on after I do the commentary. All right, talk to you later.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, you know, when God bless you, he really bless you. You just never know when people come into your life, the role that they're going to play or the role that you're going to play in their life. And we have to be really, really careful on how we treat people. And none of us are perfect. Lord knows. I can go back. I can't even go to all the people I probably have offended in some way, shape, or form, either by words or my actions or whatever over the years. And so I just, you know, I take all that stuff and I just take it to God and say, you know what? And I just say, God, forgive me anything that I've done wrong. That's the only way you can do it, because you never know. You don't want to call a name and miss somebody. No, just every person that I've offended, from looks, words, actions, I just, Father God, I repent in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me, and then I ask them to forgive me, and then I forgive them. Because a lot of times, you know, we just don't do things to be doing things. Someone has done something to engage us into a reaction, but that doesn't mean we have to do that. We make a choice, and we choose to react, and sometimes we don't react favorably. So, you know, that's just something I wanted to put out there this morning. And yes, please think about the children. Think about a child that you know that may need your help, that you can buy a book bag for, or that you can buy some pen or some paper or crayons or coloring book or a pair of socks. Doesn't have to be a lot, but just that little thing will make a difference in that child's life, will put a smile on their heart that someone else is thinking about them. So I'm going to try to do my part, and we'll just ask God to lead us and guide us through the Holy Spirit to the ones that really need that extra incentive. Because the children, their feelings can be hurt just by seeing other children with the various things that they desire. And I know we may not be able to reach them all, but just look and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Who can I help? Who can I help that may need just a little something that I can go? It doesn't take a lot. You can go to the dollar store, pick up crayons and things of that nature, and that child's going to smile and the light is going to beam out of her eyes or his eyes and just going to be so grateful that he has a lunch bucket or he has a crayon, a pen, or just, you know, something, a little notebook, you know, just something that's just special that someone gave to them. So let's think about that and make that part of our priority. I really hadn't really thought about school being that close until Frida mentioned it, you know. It is. It is what? August the 6th, and it's time. I'm telling you, the summer is over. All right, with that all being said, I'm asking you to text your friends, and ask them to join us this morning. You can call us at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078 to listen, and they can join the conversation by clicking 1. And as I usually say almost Saturday morning, sometimes I forget to say it, but always get your favorite drink, sit back, relax, listen to what God has to say, and then give us your input. Give us your thoughts. You know, get a pen and a piece of paper and just jot down what God tells on your heart about, okay? Our stimulating topic today, this morning, is mothers and daughters making decisions. Mothers and daughters making decisions. Now, that is deeper than it sounds. It really, really is. It is the core of who you are and what you experience. Mothers and daughters making decisions. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie here at the Roundtable each Saturday morning with my co-host Cynthia Oliver and Frieda Hunter. And we come to you to share what God has placed in our hearts. On Wednesday mornings, we're starting back with KOUS 96.3. They had an emergency down there, had the floods, were out. They are getting back on track, so you'll hear us there. We're on the Gospel Gems with the old-time gospel music with Mr. Tate, and he's been around for a while, about 50 years in the radio business, and his outreach takes us all the way into Africa. 786,000 people. That, you know, it's a recorded show. They record us and then they play it later. It's just amazing the outreach and the people that have the access to hear us. You know, it amazes me. I just can't focus on it. I just keep going and say, you know what, Lord, as long as your word is getting out there, it's not about me. It's about you. And my spirit told me, he said, one day you are going to wake up and you're going to be around people that know you. There's so many people that know about Mother and Daughter Bonding Network and know about Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries and the radio program. They know. They know. And one day, there's going to be a gathering. Keep that in mind. They all come. You can reach me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's drbessie1@gmail.com. Okay, so now let's go into our topic. Like I said, for the newcomers coming on, mothers and daughters making decisions. And this came out of some of the teachings that I got this week that the Lord placed on my heart. And I'm telling you, it's just been amazing at revelation from some conversations that I've had with God this week. And utilizing that, it's just like up in the week, something happened, I think, I don't know if this, I won't say ever happened before, but roundabout, see, today is Saturday, Thursday evening, my spirit said, that's what you should talk about on Saturday. Mothers and daughters making decisions. I was like, what? Because, you know, I normally don't get the topic until Saturday mornings. And that thing just, I was like, what? You know, and I was just holding on to that and thinking about it. And I'm thinking, okay, well, but I didn't write anything. I really didn't until this morning, because I was just amazed that I kind of got that insight, you know. And that's been the trigger point this week, and I've had so many people call. This week has been a week of ministering. This week have been women calling, even had some men calling, and I said, wow, I've done a lot of ministering this week. You know, you don't have to be in the pulpit to minister. You don't have to go out on the street. When God has an assignment for you, he's going to put you and the assignment together. That's one thing about technology. You know, you can be on the phone, you can be on the internet, whatever way, you can be walking on the street, I can be walking in my development, whatever. If God has an assignment for you, trust me, the Holy Spirit going to make sure that the two of you hook up and you will know it's an assignment. I had a young lady said to me this week, she said, you know, I've had, you know, issues trying to deal with my relationship with God. She said, but then all of a sudden I met you, and one day she said to herself, who is this, and where does she come from? Where did she come from? But I knew, and she knew when we met, it was a divine assignment. And over the months, I can see and honestly say that this young lady has just grown in her relationship with God, and I can hear it in her voice, and it just put joy in my heart. And I thought, God, you're using me to minister to someone. So this week has been one of those weeks. And I just thank God for the opportunity, because that's our purpose for being here, is to witness and to help fill the kingdom with souls. And that should be your focus every day. Who am I witnessing to? Because you have something that God has done for you that is so good that when you think about it and when you tell somebody, they feel it. They know that you know that you know that there's power and authority in the name of Jesus. And when you call upon it and you believe it in your heart and you don't doubt it, then the manifestations come quick. Trust me on that. And one day I'll share the story when God tells me to share it. But there's been some manifestations that God showed me. So I am in a whole new place when it comes, like when people say, yeah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, no, no, no. I know what that means. God wanted to give me my peace so that I could do what? I could witness. You can't witness someone else's life. You can only witness your life. And so when you have things that happen in your life, you look at it, and you call upon the name of Jesus, and you declare that it's done, and once it manifests, that is your script to witness. Witness is just sharing your experience with God, with others, and they will see it and hear it, and they will feel a rejoice in their soul, and they were like, wow, if God did that for her, you know, I want to know God too. That's how we got saved. We got saved by someone's testimony, someone witnessing what the Lord has done for them. And that's how you bring souls into the kingdom. Because to witness is to help a person to renew their soul. And their soul is simply their mind, their consciousness, their subconscious and conscious mind. And once you get the soul to agree with the spirit, then you're saved. You accept Jesus Christ, and tell you it's a done deal. All right, so last week we talked about mothers and daughters and imaging, you know, the image. See, once you have that image, you got to do something. You got to do something. Because I coined a phrase that says, your words create your thoughts create your visions, and your visions create your reality. That in itself is very deep, because if you don't like where you are in your life, you simply change what you say. Now, somebody might say, well, you know what, that's just this, that, and the other. Oh, no, 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 no. Everything is created by a word. See, that's God. That's not Dr. Bessie. He just showed me how to put the phrase together. But it all correlates back to the power of the word. And every word contains a meaning. Every word contains power that's attached to that meaning. So you don't want to say a word and think it's just something I just said. It doesn't really mean anything. People say that a lot. And especially if you're saved, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your words
have the power of God. So you have to be very careful what you say, because it's going to manifest. It will not return void. You are now a kingdom kid. You are now a representative. You are now an ambassador for Christ. So you can't just say anything. Now think about that. You can't. You can't have anything come out of your mouth, because what you say, it will not return void, because now you have God living in you. And you say, well, what about a bad word? Well, that's why you shouldn't say just anything, because you don't want to curse someone or curse yourself with your words. And we curse ourselves a lot with our words. Every time I turn around, I don't have no money. Every time I turn around, my head's hurting. I tell you, every time I turn around, something's attacking my body. Yeah. People are always talking about me. Those are curses that you are putting upon yourself. When you say I, it represents I am. And that is God. There's no separation. Once you say there's no separation between you and God, you got to be very careful. That's why I'm slow now to say anything. I am so consciously aware that the power, life and death, we hear this, but do you get the understanding? Life and death is in the power of the tongue, mother. So you can't just say anything to your children, because you can't take it back. I don't care, you can apologize. As the old saying say, till the cows come home. But you cannot take it back. It's gone. It has effect on the heart of the person in which you're sending it. How do I know? I've done it. Short, quick, at the mouth. Oh, God, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, Lord, I wish I could take that back. You can't do it. It's already done. Thank God for Jesus. We can repent and be cleansed up and move on. Because if we didn't have Jesus, can you imagine? No one that we could go to? No one to repent? Not even know how to do it. Jesus came to teach us the way. So with that being said, I'm going to move into our topic for the day. And our topic today is dealing with mothers and daughters making a decision. And I wanted to do that because, see, we have new people coming on, and I know the ones that are here on every week, you know, just bear with us, because just imagine if someone's new on that didn't know what we were really about and didn't know what we talked about last week, and we just jumped in. We want to catch them up so that they'll know. We talked about images last week, the type of images. We talked about the two mothers, the different type, the praying mother, the one cried out to God and said, you know, my daughter is vexed with a demon, you know, and God said the word, and our daughter was instantly healed. And then we talked about the mother of daily influence, the one that her daughter danced for the king, and all of a sudden, you know, the king going to give her half of the kingdom. And she asked her mother, what should I ask for? And our mother said, the head of John the Baptist. Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying something like that to your daughter? That you have the power from someone and you hate someone so bad that you said, instead of asking for something to help someone, even if she was selfish enough to say, you know, I want gold and silver and I want diamonds and I want my own palace and I want, you know, hey, he said whatever you wanted, up to half of the kingdom. She could have said, I want half the kingdom. He would have had to have given it to her, because he was a man that was in front of his court and a man of his word. But her mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist, because she didn't like John, because John told her the truth. You should not be married to your husband's brother. You see? She's carried that in her heart, built up hate, having those intro conversations, and was waiting on an opportunity because she was angry with John. And she got what she wanted. John the Baptist's head on a platter. But I can guarantee you, she was not a happy camper. I can guarantee you, she wished she had never made that decision. And that brings us to our topic today, mothers and daughters making decisions. So when you think about a decision, it is usually when you're faced with a strong situation before you. You know, life or death. Got to make a decision. What should I do? That's when you really are consciously aware that you got to make a decision. Now let's look at what is a decision. A decision is a choice. It is a resolution to something. It is a conclusion to something, and it determines a result. You have to choose. God said before you, I give you life and death. You choose. And then, hey, I'm going to give you a little hint here. Choose life. Now, most people think of that as dying and living. But it's not dying and living. It's the in-between. It's the life. It's the effects of life that you experience. If you pick life using the words of God, you're going to experience the good. But if you decide, nah, I want to go, I want to try some of this over here, and you know it's wrong. Most times you know, your spirit will tell you, uh-uh, you don't want to do that. But then listen to someone else, and you have a number of intro conversations going on in your head, and then you make a decision. And once you make the decision, that is an action. And every action has a reaction. And what we do, we go as far as we can go, but when the pressure get on or something jumps on your body because you didn't pay attention to what God was telling you, we go running back to God. And he's just standing there waiting on you. He's going to take you because he loves you. He created you. Why wouldn't he love you? No one creates something and doesn't like it. I want to protect it. So God is always there. But in reality, you are making an unconscious decision all day long. You don't even realize the number of decisions you make a day. But the ones that are forcing energy like, should I pay this bill or should I pay that or should I buy $200 worth of groceries, or should I buy $15 worth of groceries because I got to do this and I got to do that? See, decisions, decisions, decisions. Should I make that phone call? Should I say yes? Should I say no? As the song goes, should I stay or should I go? Regardless to what, you are making a decision. And each decision will affect your life. So mothers, when you're talking to your daughters, and daughters, when you're talking to your mother, be careful with what you say. Because what you're saying, you made the decision before the words came out of your mouth. You made a decision. You made a decision. You know what? I'm tired of her talking to me like this. And then here we go. You're going to start talking. You're going to start saying whatever's in your heart. It's going to come out. I've been waiting to say. See, this is the conversation. So you're having the intro conversation. And in those intro conversations, somewhere the intro conversation, like I told you a few weeks ago, is the referee. The referee will say, no, don't do it this way. Yes, I'm going to do it. No, don't do it. And then you talk to someone. I don't blame you, girl. I would do it. I tell her. And then you say, okay, I'm going to decide. And you decide. And then it stings you. And you say to yourself, something told me not to do that. But you made the decision, and therefore now the consequences, we have to experience those. So decisions, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you got to make a decision. Should I stay? Should I go? Because a lot of times you just want to stay in bed. You don't want to get up. I just don't want to face today. But then you think about it. You have a little dialogue with your intro conversation. And then you make a decision. Yeah, I better go. Mess around, don't have a job. Then what? When you're invited to an event, you have to make a decision. Family reunion, go to dinner, event for your job. I don't want to go. Here it comes. Should I stay or should I go? Isn't that amazing? But before you can experience life, you have to make a decision, whether it's good or bad, life or death. You decide. Your words or, you know, I know I say your words create your thoughts, but think about it. It's a formulation there going on. The words form the thought, and then it forms the thought forms a vision, and then you're confronted with making a decision. Because you have the thought. You're having that thought and the words, and it's going back and forth in the intro conversation, and then it produces a form that you can see on your mind's eye. You see it in your vision, and then you have to make a decision. And whatever decision you make, that's what you experience in life. That's why I said be careful when you make a decision. Because once you make a decision, you've just put your will into action. That's why, you know, I used to get angry with my mother when I was younger, because once she made a decision, that was it. Boy, I couldn't understand that. Oh, it used to make me so angry. So I was very careful. And now I'm a talker, and of course you know that. But I knew how to choose my words very carefully when I wanted to go somewhere or do something. I had to form my words in a way that when I spoke to my mother, that I had already rehearsed it, I'd already had the intro conversations, I'd already say if I say this, she's going to say that. So I'm not going to say that, I'm going to say this, and then when I get that little scene act out and played out in my mind, had the right words attached to it and seeing the right vision and looking to and expecting the right results that I wanted, you know, something would say, oh, no, but you know what? You might not want to say that now. And there were certain things that would trigger her to make a decision to say no. So I knew her well enough in some areas that I knew if I said, but mother, so-and-so-and-so is going, that was a no. I knew I definitely wasn't going. Because the one thing she did not like for you to use someone else as a primer to pump her to say yes. Because to her, it was like, you are not making a decision for yourself. And she was big on that. As long as you're making a decision, she said, I will support you. But if you come tell me that someone else is doing it and that's why you want to do it, my answer is going to be no. And sometimes in the fastness of talking, when I had not tried to work out something, not some things just pop up and you just go running to the house. Mother, can I go do so-and-so is going. Mother said, no. And I got, golly, I didn't think it through. And when she said no, you might as well go sit down. That was it. Because she was big on that. She said, if I tell you no and I say yes, then you'll say I'm a liar. And I'm like, no, mother, I won't say that. Yes, you will. I said, no, I won't. Yes, you will. You may not say it today, but eventually you'll say that I'm a liar. So she was very hard on changing her mind. Very, very. Every once in a while, you just could get Daddy to work on a little bit, you know. But she had her mind made up, and that was it. But as Ezekiel 16:44 say, as is the mother, so is the daughter. I realized in raising my daughter, that helped me. That helped me. I wasn't as strict as she was, but I had the same principle. Do not tell me that you want to do something because someone else is doing it. And she knew that. It was just, see, we are an imitation of our mothers. And as much as I did not like that, it was a main character in our play between my daughter and myself. It was a main character. And she knew, don't tell me. And I would say to her, if you made a decision and it turned out that it wasn't a good decision for you, I got your back. I will honor that. But don't come tell me that you made a decision because your friends decided they want to do it and it didn't turn out well for you. And until this day, that's the relationship Angie and I have. But what does that sound like? It sounds like my mother. The thing that I didn't like came up out of me. And it lived in my daughter. And now she's doing the same thing with her son. I hear her say the same words, and I'm thinking, wow, God, you know exactly how you created us. As is the mother, so is the daughter. And she says the same things to her son. Because what? We are imaging our parents. So with all that being said, all I want you to know is that we're going to make decisions. You've got to make a decision. I had to make a decision to get up this morning at 6 something and run an errand, do what I had to do, and get back and get on the radio. I had to make a decision to do the radio show. I had to make a decision to even get up and say, well, I want coffee or tea, or do I want toast, or as I was driving back, would you like to have stop and just get a sandwich? I made a decision. No, I'll get some toast when I get back home. I made a decision. Everything is a decision. Even when you lift your arms to pick up a glass, you made a decision. It's a decision that is unconscious to your conscious mind, but it's a part of the operation of your body. Your legs move when you make a decision. I'm going to get up, go to the kitchen. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going downstairs. I'm going to exercise. Your legs is not going to do anything. They're going to sit or stand until you make a decision. So why am I saying all of this? I'm saying all of this because your decisions will determine your experiences. That's why God said choose. Choose. But when you choose, choose carefully. So as I was going through this lesson this week, I was thinking, I said, okay, God, so I'm hearing you and I'm feeling you. So what you're saying is that because I have not made a decision in certain areas, that's the cause of my life. Finances, because I have not made a decision. Now, we talk about things all day long. We'll go all day. We'll talk to as many people as we possibly can about a subject, just rambling on. But did you make a decision? See, you had to make a decision in order to become saved. Something happened, and you made a decision. Something happened. And you said, you know what? I am tired of this life. Lord, if you just help me, I'm going to change my ways. I am sorry. You made a decision. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You made a decision. Think about it. You had to make a decision because otherwise you would have been saved
all of your life. You made a decision to live the lifestyle that you're living or have lived. We all done that. I'm too young right now to be saved. I mean, that to me is the dumbest thing ever, but I think we all just about said it. You know, I still got some partying in me kind of a thing. But then you made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you made the decision to live a new life. You accept him to come live inside of you. And mothers, when you make that decision, your children will see the light that shines through you. And now you in position to receive the word of God to its fullness. Because now you've made a decision, God can work with you because he's waiting on you. Now that's waiting on God. God waiting on you to make a decision. So when you make the decision, heaven will honor what you decide. He will never overrule your will. He won't do that. He won't say, oh, that's the wrong decision. No, you're going to do this. No. Whatever decision you make, heaven's going to agree with you. So if you make a decision that today is the last day that I'm going to have this lifestyle, Father, in the name of Jesus, I've decided that I am going to enjoy what you has promised me, the good of the land. And I've made a decision, and I've decided. In Jesus' name, I'm going to receive that. I receive it now. See, now you made a decision. Now you can expect it. Don't worry about it. Keep going. Just keep going. Because now everybody's rejoicing. The angels, the Holy Spirit saying, "Woo! I've been waiting on you. I can't go forward until you give me permission. Now that you've made a decision, we're ready to go." That's some of the lessons that I will talk this week. It is a wonderful journey. It is a wonderful journey. I look forward every day to my lessons learned for that day. So now I'm going to open up the switchboard, and I want to hear what you have to say about decision-making and the effects of those decision-making in your life. I'll go to Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia, again.
Good morning again, Dr. Fletcher. This is a very interesting conversation this morning. You know, I was reading earlier about she's a doctor of psychology, and she was talking about how the relationship is so intimate with mothers and daughters. But she also mentioned that there's an irony to this relationship. This relationship, you know, most moms, she says, job is to be helpful and protective of their daughter. But the thing that oftentimes when we want to be our children's best friend, we forget the job that God has given us to our daughters. Our job, yes, is to protect. Yes, it is to make sure she looks her best and she leads the best life possible. But this also suggests, according to Dr. Tanner, the importance of mother being able to step in and say what she needs to say or impart in her daughter to make corrections. And when we oftentimes, as especially young mothers, want to be our daughter's best friend, we will neglect that part of it. You must make corrections if you are raising a child, because that child is that she in your relationship, she lives and breathes everything you say. And so if mothers neglect to make those corrections, our children grow up thinking they're perfect. And in that, there's a conflict even in that, Dr. Fletcher, because we fail our children when we don't make corrections. And there's a scripture that talks about when we don't correct our children, how we don't love our children if we fail to neglect them. So So mothers do have that job of protecting, but they also have that job to make sure they make corrections when necessary and they see what's happening with their children. And unfortunately, when we want to be our children's best friend, we neglect to do the job that God has for us. And that's even leading them to Christ in order that they can live the best life that God has for them. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's an intimate relationship, and it's a, and it can be so beautiful, and you can go on that line. Young, and I'm basically talking to young mothers because this is what I see when I talk to the ladies in the prison about their daughters and how they want their daughters to be their friends. No, they don't need friends. They need mother. They have plenty of friends. They need that mother to make those corrections. And I told them, it starts from now. Even though you're incarcerated, you can start that relationship, that a mother, right from here. Yes, you're not with her, but you can insist that you and that and your daughter relationship become everything that God wants it to be by taking authority. Yes, I'm here, but you won't disrespect me because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a decision that she has to make, that her
mm-hmm.
daughter will respect her no matter where she is.
But I think
they
are guilty.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Guilty.
Go ahead.
Yes. I thought you had paused. I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. That is out of guilt. Go ahead, Dr. Fletcher. I'm done. Thank you.
No. I'm having a conversation with you now. I'm saying, I think, you know, a lot of times when a mother's in prison, and, you know, when I was there teaching, that I got that a lot, and it was that old guilty, scared that they won't communicate with them, and so I don't want to do anything to, you know, cause any ripple effects, and so when I get out of here, I want them to like me, or the daughter's already hating them for doing what they've done. So, you know, they got all these conversations going in their head, and they're not even thinking about you have power and authority over that child. You know, they just, the fear come in.
Yeah.
But you're right. They still are the parent, no matter what. I don't care where you are. You can be at the bottom of the sea. You still are the parent. You still the mother. Nothing will ever change that. It's amazing.
Yeah. But mothers have to take the role that God has for her if her daughter
mm-hmm.
is going to be her best later in life. Because God can raise up a child in the way that she should go, and when she's older, even if she departs, she will return. But if you never
mm-hmm.
take control of that relationship in your motherly role, then we fail our children. And so when they fall and we have not done our part, child, we should feel bad. But are
mm-hmm.
you to be guilty and beaten down and trodden? Absolutely not, because we all have
mm-hmm.
error, and we have not always been there. But when you know better,
mm-hmm.
God expects you to do better. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia. You have a blessed day. Love you.
Thank you. You too. Love you too.
All right, Frida, did you want to make any comments on that this morning?
Good morning, everybody. I was listening briefly on and out with Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. We're here with Spirit of Joy Ministries, giving a phenomenal love and joy for the children in the city of Orlando. We have several students here. We have just a backpack, and just spreading love and putting things in a backpack is making a difference in the community in here. Dr. Joy Davis on the microphone speaking now, doing a prayer.
All right. Thank you. You're doing great work over there in Orlando, girl. Tell everybody from mothers and daughters, we wish them well and a safe school year.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a part of what we do. You know, Cynthia's down there in Florida working with the women in the prison, and Frida's up in Orlando, and she constantly having mother and daughter teas and mother and daughter meetings and helping out, and everything we do in the name of Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministry. I'm in North Carolina, and I travel throughout the world doing missions and just whatever it's called. Now I've got some other projects that people are calling me to do that's going to take us into, you know, Africa and some other places that it's just amazing. You know, God's work will get done. He said to go out throughout the world and to preach the gospel. And sometimes we thinking, well, I'm not a preacher, so how will I do that? A preacher is only one that spreads the good news. And we all got something good. If you're a Christian, you've got a story to tell. Because most times it takes us to go through something to really submit to change our ways and to do it the way that God has ordained us to do it. By the time you just done ran out, don't know where to go and what to do, then we will come to submitting to ourselves to God and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired. What do you want me to do? But that's okay. Because, see, he's waiting on you. He knows once you're willing and once you are able and your mind and your soul is saved, your soul wants to connect with your spirit. Keep in mind, your soul is your mind. Once those two connect, then God's got something to work with. He know then he can use your body to go out throughout the world and witness of the things that your body has experienced to the world and how the manifestation came when you made a decision and change your mind and connect it to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, his word, what he says, his will, and decided, I'm not going to do Bessie. I'm going to do God. And as I tell people a lot of times, I say, you know, my biggest downfall was I knew my role. I knew I was ordained to minister to mothers and daughters, but I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to do projects. I wanted to do events. I wanted to do, and not consciously wanting to do those things, but I knew what I was supposed to do. But I didn't want to do it, quote, quote, as I thought, a preacher. See, I wanted to do it in a way that I did a lot of Bessie and a little bit of God. And what happened? Ran right into the brick wall, one after the other. Things disappearing from me. And then all of a sudden, I just had to make up my mind. Bessie, this is not working. All of you and the little guy, come on now. Who do you think you are? And that's when I made a decision. I said, I surrender, God. I surrender. Now, what do you want me to do? Is it easy? No. It is challenging because once you surrender to the will of God and submit yourself to serve him, yes, he said persecution will come. Persecution is what? The temptation, the challenge, the enemy is angry. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. You were doing well. But see, you think you're doing good. But if you stop and think, and if you write down all that you're doing that you want to do, and then put a line in the middle of the paper and write down all the things that you're doing that you know God has told you to do or asking you to do, you'll see it with your own eyes. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Have a great week.
And I'll see you here at the roundtable next Saturday at 10. Bye-bye.